Hello, Internet.
Hello.
It is. I don't think we have a Jay tonight.
Is he saying hello to the Internet to some nice lady in Carson City?
Yeah. Do they still hand out the flyers for all the hookers in Vegas when you walk down the street?
I don't see why they wouldn't.
They stopped doing that?
Well, why would you do that?
MDev sounds like he's an expert on the subject.
Well, I was just in Vegas this summer.
Oh, okay.
And they didn't have the little guys with the flashy business cards. Actually, I was kind of pissed off in Vegas because the assholes selling timeshares are now inside the casinos.
Oh, great!
So, you turn a corner from an entrance, and you get hit by another, come to our free show. Just sit through this 90-minute presentation. So
lovely.
Yeah, I was kind of pissed about that.
What do they try to bribe you with in Vegas? Because it's usually a Cuisinart or a digital camera.
Show tickets.
What kind of show?
Cirque du Soleil.
I don't know. Didn't ask. The only show I went to in Vegas was Penn and Teller, and it was well worth the money I paid.
Yeah, no, the wife and I are actually discussing going to Vegas. And, yeah, I want to go to Penn & Teller, and there's a bunch of, comedians who are, old-school L.A. comedians who just realized, you know what, I could kill myself going on the road for months at a time, or I could just rent a theater here in Vegas and have my act come to me and do my act, four or five nights a week. And then fly home and spend the weekend with my family.
I have to tell you, even if for whatever reason you don't go to Penn & Teller
going to Penn & Teller. That's number one on my list.
You have to go to their gift shop.
Do they have butt plugs?
What? Oh, no. Way better than that. Way better than that. They have copies of the Constitution stamped on metal plates.
I own those.
Purposely, so
I own, of course you do.
Yeah.
I've never had the balls to use them. It's a metal bill of rights with the Fourth Amendment done in all of it's black on silver, except the Fourth Amendment is red on silver. And you're supposed to throw it in your pocket, and so that when you walk through the metal detector, they go, empty your pockets, and then you do the, oh, I forgot, here, take my rights, and then submit to the check.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, exactly.
But I've never had the balls to do it just because I much prefer the, are there any sensitive parts on your body? And I say only my Fourth Amendment rights.
I have one great TSA story. It was probably the closest I've ever come to really having serious issues with the TSA, not being able to get on my flight. But luckily it was my wedding night, so I decided to be well behaved.
You guys are adorable.
Whoa, Brita. Please, no, I take offense to be called adorable.
Adorable.
I'm an angry, greasy Italian. I'm not adorable.
Okay.
I happen to be extremely adorable.
You are cute and fuzzy. Adorable.
Hey,
with
thanks.
Your excellent toughage.
Yes. Thanks. thanks for calling, MDev. We got
another call?
No, but we have to play our music.
Oh, okay.
Well, play the music.
I'm trying to.
Don't vote me off.
It's Thursday, January 21st, 2016. This is episode 180. Score report.
Woohoo!
I kept waiting for Weird to jump in.
I was dancing.
It threw me off.
I don't know why, but suddenly the spirit of the music caught me. And so I was like, oh, man, why can't we be one of these shows that does it on YouTube? Because this is the one moment where I'd be like, oh, that'd be cute. Me sitting here drinking a Sazerac and bopping to the fucking shitty free music that we have.
You can do it on YouTube.
I'm not going to do it on YouTube. I don't even own a webcam.
Well, maybe you should.
Why would I do that?
So you could put it on YouTube.
No, because I'll get a glimpse of it while I'm beating off and go, oh, God, is it looking at me?
That's what they invented tape for.
What?
Hey, there's people that pay to watch that.
Oh, my Lord.
That is true.
You know, that might be. You should, you know.
Weirdcam.com.
Yeah, set you up a weird cam. You might get some interesting followers.
I know that Brita shower cam was popular for a while.
It was. You could have put clickbait ads and stuff on Brita shower cam. People would have seen all kinds of things.
Things.
Maybe even tactical yoga pants.
Oh, yeah.
Do they come in my size?
They're all your size.
Would you wear them?
No. No. I'm going to say the I don't see men in yoga pants very often, but whenever I do, I just want to push them over and like take their stuff.
I don't think I've ever seen a man in yoga pants.
Oh, that's because you don't live in Boston. All right. Maybe if you lived in Austin.
But the closest I've come is like the ballet dancers at the, you know, the ballet dancer dudes.
Yeah.
What about the bicyclists? They wear those pants.
Oh yeah, that's right. The bicyclists. Yeah.
And they really shouldn't.
Yeah. Well, I don't really see them more as, you know, cause the red fog of, you know, covers my eyes as I'm cussing at them for, you know, riding in front of me.
As I get straight to the grill of your F-150.
Yeah.
As they go through the fan belt.
So I'm trying. I saw the yoga pants thing, the tactical yoga pants, and I thought,
is MDev still in the line?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
Oh, you still there, MDev?
He hung up.
Oh, I guess he hung up.
All right.
Oh well. Yeah, I saw the tactical yoga pants, and I thought my first thought was, "What the fuck is this? April 1st again?"
Yeah,
and
it kind of did seem like a wait a minute.
Yeah,
yeah, because 5/11 on April 1st, you know, years ago, came out with the tactical kilt, right?
Yes.
And, you know, everybody, they came out with a tactical kilt and they did it as a joke, but then they got like, you know, people were so excited. Oh my gosh, this tactical kilt is so cool and blah, blah, blah. And so they actually had to manufacture it. But no.
And you know what's funny?
What?
The tactical kilt?
Yes.
With all involved in making the tactical kilt?
Yes.
Cheaper than the tactical yoga pants.
Yes. What the fuck is that about? $85 yoga pants.
Yeah. I think was only like $75.
Yeah. The tactical kilts weren't cheap either. Like, I definitely would wear a tactical kilt over like my family tartan just because, yeah, it's nicer and whatever. It's just, it goes better with my style. An untucked flannel shirt over a tactical kilt looks a whole lot better than over my family tartan.
Yeah. But $85 for these tactical yoga pants that I just don't even understand. This morning I said to Mike, I said, can you believe this? And this was, you know, before 8 a.m. We're getting ready for work and stuff. And I said, oh, look, 5/11 is making tactical yoga pants. And I pulled up a picture of the yoga pants on the screen of my iPad, and I turned it on and I showed him, and he started laughing. He's like, what are those for? I was like, well, you're supposed to wear them to the range. And he was like, but what's wrong with pants? I'm like, I don't know.
So evidently a camel toe is a tactic now.
I guess.
It could be.
It could be. It could be a distraction.
It can be very distracting.
But, God. Yeah, what is wrong with regular pants? I don't know. The only thing I can think is that, for instance, I see an ad on Facebook every once in a while, and it's for these they're supposed to look like dress trousers for women, you know, like work pants. You wear them to the office or whatever. And they come in kind of a, you know, black or kind of like a tweedy looking pattern, but they're yoga pants. So the only thing I can think is that 5.11 has somebody in their marketing department that said, women love yoga pants. Women want to wear yoga pants all the time. So we should make tactical yoga pants. That's the only thing I can think.
Yeah. I mean, I know, Natalie D had a great comic that said like, it's after Labor Day, time to switch the short yoga pants for the long yoga pants.
Yeah. And frankly, and this is a woman thing, because you guys don't know, but the reason why women wear yoga pants all the time, I wear them to the gym and like around the house and that's it. The reason why women wear yoga pants is because they're comfortable. And the reason we like them is because regular pants are uncomfortable. I don't know if you know about like women's clothing, but all the sizes are fucked up and all the sizes are different in different brands. And it doesn't fit your waist. If it can fit your, see, I'm having this problem now where my pants will fit my butt and my thighs, but not my waist. So it's like women's pants are impossible. They're either too long, too short, too big in the waist, too small in the waist. They don't fit right. The crotch is too long. The crotch is too short. And then every other brand, like a size 6, will be this in one brand and this in another. It's not like we have, you know, can go to the store and buy waist and length and just be done. It's a nightmare. And so women wear yoga pants because you just pull them on and they're comfortable and you don't have to think about it. You don't have to hem them usually, you know, it's right. So 5.11 has decided, hey, yoga pants. Women don't need pockets. Fuck pockets.
No, because they can wear one of them bullshit webbing range belts.
Oh, my God.
And you can hang I'm sure they'll have someone that's got like 30 dump pouches all hanging
off.
Well,
the yoga pants also have belt loops.
Yeah.
Which is just stupid.
Well, no, the belt loops are so you could throw your gun belt on.
Yes, but
– and then hang your 30 dump pouches around that.
But – okay. And I was having this same conversation earlier. Belt loops are for when you wear a belt to hold up your pants.
That's true.
The fact that you can also wear a gun on the belt that holds up your pants does not preclude wearing a belt without a gun belt without the belt loops because you do not need belt loops for a gun belt. Cops do it all the time. The military does it all the time. The they hold up their pants are not the belts they attach their guns to.
Oh yeah, that's true. The M&P belts. Those are all MP belts. Those are all they're all just strapped over their regular belt.
Exactly. And it makes it a whole lot easier to take your gun belt on and off if you don't have to fish the damn thing through your belt loops and weave it in and out of your holster at the same time.
Ain't that the truth? Hell, so, the fucking cowboys used to do that.
Exactly.
They'd wear a belt around their jeans to keep their pants up. And then they'd throw the gun belts and they'd have the cool crossed ones. They'd even wear two fucking gun belts.
Right. And since yoga pants don't need belt loops because you don't need a belt to hold them up.
Right.
The belt loops in the tactical yoga pants are just stupid.
You know what? I just thought of something, by the way. The whole those cowboys like that have like the 6 gun on either side and the belt that's holding up their pants and all three of them are just holding up one thing.
Yep.
Were belts in the old West like scarves in the new West? You see like Johnny Depp or like Samuel L. Jackson or all that wandering around with like 16 scarves around their body.
I don't know. I know a lot of cowboys wore suspenders, though, because belts were not all that common still at the time.
And belts are not comfortable, but suspenders are.
Yes, that's correct.
I fucking hate belts. Who's?
It's
cat feeding
it's
time.
It's my house. It's feeding time at the zoo.
And are they chewing on the bars of their cages?
No.
They might be.
They might be.
All right. Well, Brita.
What?
Can I ask you a bit of a personal question?
I'm not wearing the yoga pants. What?
Oh, that's even better.
What?
By the way, I just decided that yoga pants are the only pants you wear, so thank you, Brita.
Okay.
All right, no, so Brita.
Yes.
We were very similar in opinions of Sarah Palin way, way, way back when.
Yeah.
And then for a long time, we were differing in opinions of Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
What's the status of our opinions now?
I think it's probably the same again.
It's probably the same again? Because
yeah.
I got to say, I loved Sarah. I voted for fucking John McCain because I voted for Sarah Palin.
Me too.
I hate John McCain far more than I hate Mitt Romney, and I voted for Gary Johnson in that election. I could not vote for Mitt Romney, and I hate John McCain vastly more than Mitt Romney because Mitt Romney's just someone isn't going to govern the way I want to. John McCain is someone directly out to get people who want to live life the way I want to. But Sarah Palin, pretty fucking awesome. But then the moment she resigned from the governor as the governor of Alaska, I went, really?
Right.
I just felt that was both extremely disingenuous, extremely out of character for who I thought she was. I mean, it's one of those I've gotten not to her level, but I've gotten threats and stalkers and that sort of shit. And my general philosophy is, okay, yeah, go ahead. I mean, I'm not all that concerned about you in general because 99% of all dipshits out there are just all talk and no action. But the ones that are more action than talk, I'll shoot them. And isn't Sarah Palin that type of lady? But then immediately went on all her speaking tours and all that. So I kind of went, it's a smart move, to tie it all together. It's a smart move if you look at the world the same way that Donald Trump looks at the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't appreciate it. And now speaking of Donald Trump. Yep. She's endorsing him.
I know.
And stumping for him.
And, I'm looking at this, from two ways. You have a reality TV star. I mean, they're both reality TV stars now.
They sure are.
So
yep.
it's so weird. It's just weird. And then on the other hand, I'm kind of thinking about how the Republican establishment really screwed her.
Yes, they did.
In so many kind of ways. They really screwed her. I mean, from the very beginning when she started campaigning for John McCain, they were like, his own staff were undermining her. They were like working to undermine her during his campaign.
Yep.
So I'm kind of wondering, because she's not a dumb woman.
No.
I'm kind of wondering if this is her big fuck you.
It's entirely possible. It's no accident that the two top candidates in the GOP, actually the only two that matter, and it will probably come down to those two, are not establishment candidates.
Right.
The established, you got in the top five, it's what now? It's like Cruz and Trump and Rubio and Ben Carson. And maybe Jeb, maybe.
No, not
no.
even Jeb.
No.
Who'd be fifth after Carson?
Carly?
No, not her. She's not even not showing her. Up anymore in the well, polls.
Carson's getting to that point too.
Yeah, but he's still higher than he's still pulling higher than Jeb.
Kasich.
Oh yeah, Kasich.
Oh God, Kasich. So, I always want to apologize for Ohio when his name is mentioned. You know, the two established.
You know, obviously Jeb is like the number one establishment candidate. He's the guy they really wanted.
Yep. Now Rubio's been
Rubio's like, you know, it's just right now everybody's looking around going, all right, when's Jeb going to get out and send all his money over to Rubio? But Rubio really doesn't have much of a chance either, because if you took all of Kasich's poll numbers, all of Jeb's poll numbers, and added them to Rubio, he's still not up there with Cruz and Trump.
No.
Yep. And then also, I mean, let's face it, on the other side, I mean, you've got Hillary Clinton neck, who is absolutely the establishment candidate.
Yes.
But she's neck and neck with Bernie Sanders, who technically isn't even a Democrat.
Right. That's hilarious.
I didn't even realize that.
No, he's not. He's never been.
I just assumed that. I mean, I knew he wasn't for the longest time, but I just assumed that, you know, he did like the, you know, did the Michael Bloomberg thing and just like, oh yeah, switched over to register to as a Republican. I mean, it's just up until recently I was a Republican and now I'm not. And it was super easy to stop being a Republican. So I just assumed he did the same thing, but nope. At this exact moment, Bernie Sanders is not a Democrat.
Yeah. You don't have
to if he wins, which he's not going to,
you don't have to be a member of the party to be a candidate for that party.
Yeah. But if he won, would he be the first non-Democrat to be the first anybody to be the nominee of their party that isn't a member of that party?
I don't know. I wouldn't be
surprised.
That's
a good historical question.
That is a good. If only we had somebody that could do the research.
Yeah, I know. That'd be great. A librarian or
– yeah, somebody that was an expert at finding out facts and things.
Mm-hmm. And maybe
you should hire one of them.
Yeah,
they come at a cost.
What's the cost, and does it cost more for you to do it in yoga pants?
Yes,
might
yes,
be
there is a surcharge for the yoga pants.
I'm just saying,
we'll take
ass.
Up a collection. I'll match you, weird.
Oh my God,
we could do this. We can make this happen. We have the technology.
What color
all I need
yoga
to do
pants?
Is go into my wife's bank account.
Do you have a color preference for yoga pants? Or?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay, what?
Clear.
Clear is not a color.
It's the absence of color.
Oh, my gosh.
It's in the checkbox, though.
Can we... Is it too early or premature to announce that we're all going to the NRA convention this year?
Well, if Weird stops by and picks me up, I will go.
I'm going to stop by and pick you up.
Yay!
This has already been arranged. This is already set up. This is already.
I will just stand at the exit ramp on the freeway and
it's a done
deal. Just wait
with,
for you
with a cardboard sign.
I want to pet your fucking turtle.
Oh really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you got to meet Myra if you can. She's
okay.
Awesome.
Pat your turtle and pee in your toilet because, come on, it's a long road trip.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm going to have to pee.
Make you a snack and whatever.
Nice.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, I will be there. Make me some bone marrow.
I have some in the freezer. I'll make you soup.
Right, yeah. No, so, the squirrels are going to be at NRA this year, so you better too.
And we'll be handing out stickers.
We'll be bringing a shitload of stickers.
That's right.
Please take some stickers.
Take some damn stickers.
I'm actually getting a ball hitch and a third wheel for I'm running down with Ryan from Handgun Radio, and I'm getting a ball hitch and a third wheel for his car to hold the stickers.
Wow. A U-Haul?
It's actually just a little third wheel. It's actually made out of the bed of an 86 Ford Ranger.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's from Maine.
Okay.
That explains everything.
Which, to be fair, I have seen a ton of third wheels made out of the bed of a Ford Ranger.
That's real popular. They make great little pickups.
The thing that gets me though is they've always got the drive shaft still getting to the I mean it's still got the it's still spinning the rear differential, yeah, that's which kind of weird
gear thing. It's got to be hurting their mileage.
Yeah, I've always got that. It's like, why aren't they just freewheeling? But no, it's still all attached to that rear differential.
Yeah, whatever. What are you gonna do? All right, so we're all going to the NRA convention.
Yeah,
it's gonna be. I am so excited about this. It's gonna be so much fun. I mean, I've missed the last two because baby.
I think we're all even staying in the same hotel.
You know, I have to admit that I'm a little trepidatious.
About what?
I've never done anything like this before, where you just like go on a road trip for, you know.
Oh, it's fun.
A little nervous. And who's driving?
You drove to Penzick.
That's like 2 hours.
Given that Ryan's car is a stick, and we're taking Ryan's car, not the one-legged librarian.
I'm not driving.
Not that I would imagine that. You could drive a stick though, couldn't you? If you learned how, or no?
Nope.
Nope.
I'm doubting it.
Yeah. Okay.
Well.
I'm going to try to teach you how to drive a stick.
Make sure you take your phone charger because you'll be sitting in the back paying attention to your phone.
No, I'm going to bring a book.
Oh, okay.
And earplugs.
There you go.
Earplugs?
No offense.
But what about my rousing conversation? Because, Brita, I think you may have known me for long enough, because it's been a long ass time that we've known each other. That
yes.
I don't shut up.
I know.
Not ever.
I do when I'm sleeping.
Okay. Well,
my wife says that about both
me
and
sleep?
My daughter is that she knows that either one of us is asleep when she doesn't hear talking.
Oh my god!
She definitely does. She definitely does. She'll be sitting there outside her bedroom, and you hear the wheels on the bus go round and round, round and round, round and round. The wheels on the bus go round and round all through the town.
And she's asleep.
But there's no like fade out. There's no like cross fading. It's just the track is over.
Yep.
And I'm done. I'm asleep.
kids and
thank you. Good night.
Do that.
I think it's gonna be
right
fun.
Where they are.
I think it will be fun.
Oh, it's gonna be a blast.
Do we have to wear the t-shirts or no?
You don't have to.
I can't find mine. I don't know where it went.
Oh.
I don't know where it went. Vector, is it at your house? Vector, I'm speaking to you from the past. Look in your house to see if I accidentally left it there when I was dressing our children up in Squirrel Port shirts. But, I mean, we're not going to wear it every day. That'd be yucky.
True.
And none of us are so hardcore that we bought, like, multiple shirts.
No. You know what? I kind of want to do after having been to a Comic-Con, I kind of want to do a NRA convention cosplay thing.
What? Like what?
I don't know.
Like we could wear Jane hats
or you know, something. I think.
Ooh, I have a Jane hat.
I think it'd be cool to do like to show up as in a cosplay at the NRA convention and be like, "What? We're ready for the convention."
You know, I'm actually surprised I haven't seen somebody at the NRA show not in a Boba Fett outfit.
Well, you know, there was what's his name, the Buck. What he was kind of
Buck met. Meh.
He was kind of cosplaying something.
Oh my god!
I'm not sure.
And Ted Nugent.
Yeah, Ted Nugent.
When does Ted Nugent?
He's like a permanent cosplayer.
Yeah. Are you talking about that like creepy bleach blonde?
Yes.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
Yes. The Cold Steel Booth guy.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And then there's Lynn Thompson who is cosplaying as a thin man.
Oh Lord.
He's so creepy.
Yeah.
But do like a Doctor Who cosplay or something, you know, just to I don't know.
I'll wear a Jane hat. I will bring. I am.
It would just be weird.
Official. I am packing my Jane hat. So that'll be that.
I need a squirrel hat.
Ooh.
I need a squirrel hat. That'd be funny.
Oh no! Just can we get like Davy Crockett style squirrel skin hats? I'd wear one of those fucking all the time. That's just a good idea.
Oh, good. Good thing you brought that up. I don't know if you know, but it is Squirrel Appreciation Day.
It is, and we're not getting appreciated very much.
I know. I feel completely unappreciated.
214-530-0036. Call in, yes. You bunch of fans,
hikers,
whatever you are.
Hikers.
You people that aren't calling in.
Weird. I wanted to mention that you have the recipe section.
Yes.
Because I am totally interested in beef heart. It's one of those things. I had it when I was a kid, and I think my mom just kind of stuffed it and roasted it. And I don't really remember it. I remember the stories of it. I don't remember tasting it. But I plan on getting a beef heart this summer and like grilling it. You can do like, you know, like yes. skewers kind of.
Oh, no. So here's how I do it.
Okay, tell me.
So I just happened to be at the grocery store today, and they were one of my coworkers jokes that, you know, I buy whatever the grocery store is ready to throw away. And I bought a little pack of chicken drumsticks because you have like $2, and for 30 cents I bought about a half pound of sliced beef heart.
Okay. Oh, sliced. Okay.
So it was sliced into probably about inch thick strips that were about mm-hmm. probably an inch by a quarter inch.
Okay.
Sort of idea. And so all you do, all I did was fire the same thing with a grill, get your grill just really hot. But I just fired up my cast iron skillet and got it going as hot as it was going to get. And you put salt and pepper on both sides, kosher salt and just ground pepper on both sides of the beef heart strips, and then throw it on and 3 minutes on a side and then let it rest. And that's it.
Is it tender?
It is. So that's the scary thing about beef heart is,
okay.
So the first one that I did, this is the second one I've cooked. And the first one I got, there happened to be one strip that came cut up from the butcher shop. That's how they sell it. And one of them was bigger than all the others. So I said, you know what? I just need to make a quick cut on this one and it'll be uniform in size, essentially twice the thickness of all the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a ceramic knife and I was leaning on the damn thing to slice through this thing.
Wow.
And I go, oh my God, this is going to be like a truck tire.
Huh.
And oddly enough, once it heats through, and I didn't heat it all the way through. I mean, I just cooked it to probably a medium rare. It becomes amazingly tender.
Huh.
Because there's kind of no grain to it. Like the grain is very, very fine on it. So it's not like a real, real long grain, like on a skirt steak. It's
right.
kind of more like a filet mignon, but it's a little bit more granular than a filet mignon. It's denser than a filet mignon. A filet mignon's kind of a loose piece of meat. This one's
right.
just a very, very finely grained piece of meat. But it comes out that, I mean, so all I did was just slice little thin pieces for my daughter and she ate it no problem.
Huh.
Ate it no problem and asked for no more no problem. And and all that. So it's super tender, super good, but like literally just 3 minutes. Like,
yeah.
If you want to do it like 2.5 on a side, that's probably good too. Just, it does not like, do not be like concerned about like undercooking this. Just
right.
hit it hot and fast, and then give it, you know, 5 minutes to rest, and then just cut it up and eat it. And it's really, really good.
Cause I know that there's like two ways to cook heart. It's either hot and fast or low and slow.
Yeah.
Like in a crock pot all day long.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of more interested in the grilling hot and fast.
I got to say that's the only way I'm going to bother with it, just because it's hot and fast is super duper easy. Cause literally it's like taking like, it takes like 10 minutes to cook this.
I just found a new butcher shop.
What's that?
I've just found a new butcher shop and they have heart. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm pretty excited.
Yeah. If you get a nice hood on your stove, cause I mean, hot and fast, you're going to be producing a bit of smoke, but if you get a nice hood on your stove, do it in the wintertime.
Okay.
You're Irish. You got a cast iron, don't you?
Of course. All I have is cast iron.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, but yeah, okay. I forgot to mention. I throw a little bit of olive oil in the bottom of the pan just before I throw it in. But yeah, no, it's stupid easy. It's stupid good. And the drumsticks and wings, you do the same way. 375 for an hour, and just coat them with a little bit of oil and whatever seasoning you want, and just throw them. And I throw them in my black magic trick, which is a cooling rack inside a baking sheet, and then just throw them on there and let them go, because that way you don't have to flip them.
Excellent.
They came out real good. I'm probably going to eat the remainder of the heart and the drumsticks for breakfast tomorrow.
You can eat your heart out.
I can indeed. It is so fucking good, and it's even better because, I mean, I'm a cheap ass motherfucker that I spent 30 cents on this heart.
What?
30 cents.
That's amazing.
I think I got a larger pack last time and I spent 60.
That's amazing. So, oh my gosh.
Granted, this is like the buy it now or we're going to throw it in the trash. Right, sort of thing. But still. Under normal circumstances, you can buy probably about a pound of heart for like $1.40.
Yeah, it's not expensive because nobody knows what to do with it, really. You know, it's not like a strip steak where everybody
and says, it's really okay, creepy. I mean, that's the big thing is I've had chicken hearts in the past and they're disgusting. They're just like little like leathery little raisin things, and they've got kind of a livery taste to them. They're really strong tasting, and they're just nasty. And I mentioned the fact that like heart's one of those things that I just won't touch because they're kind of gross. And I'd done a biology class where we actually dealt with a beef heart just to study the structures of a heart. Mm-hmm. And I think it was the residue of blood that's inside of it. It just kind of starts getting this like almost a plasticky sort of smell. If it's been exposed to room temperature for a little while, it smells really like heart that's been like out for a bit smells really gross, like way worse than any other piece of meat that I've ever like that's gotten a little bit too much sun. And but like this, like literally this pack of the with the, you know, 60% off sticker slapped on it, I opened it up and gave it a quick sniff and it smelled like nothing at all. And it's actually with a heart, I mean, you've seen like a photograph of a heart. It's got those like fat pads on it.
Right.
So it's got a little bit of fat. It's really not that much fat either. It's really like thin and, you know, not, I don't really know exactly what purpose that those pads serve, but there's no marbling in the meat whatsoever. So it's actually very, very lean as well. So yeah, no, highly recommend it.
I'm hungry
and
again.
Again, if you're not, if you can mitigate the amount of smoke you'll produce from cooking beef hot and fast on your stovetop, go out and buy some damn heart right now. So yeah, it's yummy. I'm gonna try to feed it to
my wife. My Skype just cut out for like 30 seconds.
Oh,
are you there?
Yes.
That's weird. Okay.
But yeah, so yeah, get some heart. I'm gonna try to feed some to my wife, who is not looking forward to it.
Have you done tongue yet?
I have not. What's tongue like? I've never had tongue.
That's what she said. Tongue is, it's an interesting texture. And then the preparation is kind of, you know, you have to do a tongue low and slow, like in the crock pot. Uh-huh. And when you get the tongue, it still has the taste buds on it and the skin. And you put the whole thing in the crock pot and you cover it with water and like onions and garlic and, you know, whatever spices you want. And you cook it a long time. And then you take it out, and while it's still hot, you have to peel the taste buds off.
Okay.
Which is an interesting experience. And then the tongue we made, I kind of chopped up the meat and we made tacos out of it. Mm-hmm. And but the texture,
what is that called? There's a word for the
lengua. Lengua. Yeah.
Tongue taco.
And the texture is a little bit like very fine meat. very mm-hmm. fine grained meat, but it has like a little bit of a sponginess to it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And it doesn't really shred because it doesn't have those like fibers.
Mm-hmm.
Next time I make tongue, I have one in the freezer right now. The next time I make tongue, I'm going to peel the taste buds off and then let it cool and then slice it into little slices like lunch meat.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably a better way to do it. I mean, it was delicious and we ate the whole thing but it was like it didn't shred really well for tacos. It was more like cubes, so it didn't really work for tacos that well.
You could also do the old offshore trick of how the problematic case of skate wings. Skate wings are very, very delicious, but skinning a skate wing is a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
Belt sander.
What? That's crazy.
I've seen some guys take a skate wing to a belt sander and just sand the skin off, and then you fry up your skate wings, and oh, they're good. It's a very, very rich meat. It's delicious.
Is skate kind of like a stingray, kind of?
Yeah.
Am I thinking? Kind of. Okay. Yeah.
It's an elasmobranch.
Okay.
Which is the sharks, rays, and I think chimeras. I think chimeras are elasmobranchs, but I don't know. I'll have to look it up. But I don't think you can eat chimeras.
Is that weird blobby fish? No.
No, that's the rat tail fish.
No.
Sort of thing. They've got little tiny mouths and the big eyes.
I bet the Cajuns can eat them.
Cajuns can eat anything. Cajuns can eat rocks and glass, and it's going to be good.
Yeah, you know that bug, that giant stick bug they found on that island?
No.
I did not click that link.
Yeah, there's some kind of, like, some island, some little, like, it's like a... like a rocky tower thing sticking out of the ocean near Australia. And they found this gigantic, like foot long walking stick style bug that lives there.
A foot long?
Yeah. It's like a foot long, and it's huge, and it looks kind of meaty. But they thought it was extinct because on a nearby island where they also lived, the rats got out and ate them all. So they found a little spot on this one little rock where there were like, you know, 20 or 30 of them still living. So they took four of them and they're raising them in captivity. And I thought, man, you know what? Some Cajun looked at that and started working on his recipe.
All right. Somebody put a link to this in the chat, 'cause I want to see this thing.
Six-legged giant finds secret hideaway.
Yeah.
Hides for 80 years.
That's it.
All right.
That's the link.
Damn it. I just did free reference for you.
What is this? What's the...
There. There's a link.
Yeah. Okay. There
it's on NPR.
That's it.
Oh, that's always good.
Where's the... Oh, look at picture. Holy crap.
It's a giant thing.
It's like a giant ant, kind of.
It's a... They call it a stick bug.
It does look most like a stick insect.
But you know what? There's some Cajuns that saw that picture and said, mm-hmm.
It's pretty much shrimp gumbo.
It's good eating. Look how big they are. They're huge.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty good sized.
Yeah.
I've eaten silkworm pupa.
You have?
Yeah, they're nutty and a little bit on the bitter side.
Hmm.
I mean, it's, you know, it'll make a turd.
Now, y'all want to make fun of the people in D.C.?
Well, yes. I can.
Weird can too.
Oh, yeah, Weird can. So first, as an amusing thing, is I dropped my daughter off at daycare yesterday, and we'd gotten some snow, and I. It was one of those, like, you know, New England snow, I'll dust this with a broom a little later on sort of idea.
Yeah.
And as I was pulling out, I saw, like, there was, like, a skim of slush on the road. And I said, ooh, that looks actually awfully slippery. And so, you know, given that I am A, a lunatic, and B, grew up in Maine, and C, live in New England. Instead of doing what everybody else would do, I, with my wheel partly cut, put the accelerator to the floor.
Oh, geez.
And even with the all-wheel drive on my mom mobile, I did a full 180 in the road. I mean, it's really just kind of a little access road, so there was no cars on it whatsoever. And it was just one of those like, oh, there we go. I am sliding. Oh, I'm sliding a lot more than I thought I was. Woo! I'm facing the other direction.
That reminds me of a friend of mine. We're driving. Where the fuck were we? We were driving back from someplace. This was in Lubbock back in the like early 80s. And we were driving back. We lived in a dorm at Texas Tech. And we were driving back in his truck. And there was snow on the road. It was like, I don't know, it was like wee hours of the morning. And there's nobody else on the road. And we go to turn into the parking lot. And we start sliding. So we wind up doing like a 360 in the middle of the road. And we were like, cool, let's do it again. So we drove around, came around and did it again. And then the third time we did it, a cop who had been sitting watching us in the parking lot flashed his lights. And over the PA says, go home. he didn't even want to get out and do anything. He was like, go home.
That's what I've always told to like people who are like new to New England and they start getting concerned about driving here is I tell them, I say, just go find an unplowed parking lot after a snowstorm and just do donuts in the parking lot. And it's actually one of the, probably the best driving skills, like one of the best, like, you know, classrooms you can have for driving in winter weather or just even really just any sort of slippery conditions, because to do a good donut, you need to A, know how to put your car into a skid. So therefore you're learning what not to do and knowing what will get your car to break loose. But then also, you'll be teaching yourself how to correct the skid and how to control a skid. So really donuts are like awesome to do and they're hilariously fun.
Cool.
There seems to be two types of snow driving, and I am like the cautious, slow, don't make any sudden movements kind of driver. I'm pretty in control. I don't, you know. Mike, on the other hand, he just goes for it. And then like when we're skidding out, he knows how to correct really well. Apparently, and because we haven't crashed yet, but there seems to be two schools.
Like my wife at this moment.
Yeah. So yeah, we have our different styles of driving in the snow, and it just takes experience, not being stupid. You know what I mean?
There's the cautious winter drivers, and there's the ones that put a colander on their face and yell, "Witness me, brothers!"
Yeah.
We have a car.
Unfortunately, I'm in the car. I'm in the car for a lot of that. So.
Area code 971. Hello again.
Witness!
Why, hello. I didn't know if my call carried over to the real show, so I figured I would call back to, you know, make sure I got in.
Yes,
Were you calling the recording show?
You're in.
Well, you know, I had to call in because, you know, I finally put my my stickers on all the proper things, and, you know, I'm part of the club. I got to call in once in a while, right?
And by putting your stickers on the proper things, you mean your tactical yoga pants?
No, but I did put it on my drum case.
Ooh.
I have one on my computer.
I
want to mention that if they need a test person to wear the yoga pants, I will sacrifice my
Brita would be
dignity.
A fantastic tactical.
I've been doing squats.
Model.
Are you cutting glass yet?
No. No glass.
Well then keep going. Because you said that was the goal. So Miss Brita, I heard that you somebody got you drunk and you volunteered to ride in a vehicle with Weird.
I did. I'm. I yeah. I do want to go to the NRA convention. That's, you know, okay. Of course I want to go, but I really didn't have a way to get there or, you know, whatever. So I realized that it's in Louisville.
Oh, well, that's unfortunate because can they not put one near me?
No,
sorry.
You live in no guns allowed land.
I don't live in no guns allowed land.
Pretty much the West Coast.
Well, I'm just saying, think about how within a 15-mile radius of me, we have myself, Jay Sinek, and Barron. I mean, that's pretty much the greatest three ever made.
Yeah. And what convention centers nearby are big enough to hold 80,000 people?
We can hold it at the football stadium.
Not going to happen.
I think the closest one for you is like Phoenix, probably.
Yeah, it'd be like Phoenix.
Yeah, probably. But then I got to deal with like 900-degree heat. Don't get me wrong. Like, I could drive to SHOT Show any year, and, you know, I would just have to, like, poke my blog enough to get media credentials. But
well, probably Colorado, but I don't think the NRA is holding it in Colorado anymore.
No, probably not. But, no, I think NRA convention, and it wouldn't even have to be Seattle. Like, I could deal with another West Coast city, you know. I mean, hey, let's put it in San Francisco. That would be hilarious.
Yeah, that's not going to happen either.
Definitely be interesting.
They banned the last gun shop in San Francisco. What do you think they'd do with the NRA? Those dipshits would come through and come up with a town ordinance that, like, had a restraining order on the NRA.
Yeah, probably. Bubba Boxer would be on the front page of every newspaper. Is he still in power, Barbara Boxer?
I don't know.
It's still her thing, right? I don't know. So, well, anyway, I just, you know, wanted to make sure I counted for real on the show because I've been sent on a mission to go get soup for my wife because she is sick.
Ah, okay.
Make sure to pick up a fork.
Well, I won't mention that I had to go pick up my own soup when I was sick 2 weeks ago. But,
there are different rules.
Yep.
We won't bring that up.
Make sure to pick up 40 ounces of cold medicine.
40 ounces of cold shit, please. With the shit she drinks, 40 ounces would bankrupt me.
Thanks for calling in, Deb.
All right. Talk to you later.
Good luck.
Bye.
Yeah. So apparently the press was miffed. Because it took the presidential motorcade like an hour and a half to drive what usually takes 20 minutes.
Oh, no.
Yes. They were very upset that the presidential motorcade could not go faster.
Some people were still trying to get home like at 3 a.m.
Yes.
Or later. They were abandoning their cars on the side of the road.
Yep.
For an inch of snow.
Not even that.
Ugh.
Really?
Yeah. An inch.
Well, the city was completely unprepared. Well, they ignored it. They didn't do anything. They didn't roll out trucks. They didn't do sand or salt. They just didn't do anything at all. And, of course, the Democratic mayor of Washington, D.C.,
blames global warming?
Well, you know, I'm sure it's not his fault.
No, it's global warming because that's their religion.
And so now people are ransacking grocery stores, apparently, and because they're afraid, because they're forecasting. This is going to be another one of those things because they're forecasting like 30 inches of snow for the D.C. area.
Oh, man, it used to be back...
And people are going to go, and people are going to be all like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And then it's going to, like, snow a couple inches, and people are going to go, oh.
Didn't they do that, like last year?
Yes,
they were
supposed
to be, like, this apocalyptic snowstorm.
It was
going
to be a stormageddon, and it fizzled out, and they got mad.
That happened in Boston a few years ago. They shut down the entire city of Boston, and nope, nothing happened.
Yeah, that happened in New York last year. Remember, it was New York, because they – they sent all the transit people. They shut down the buses and subways and everything because of this snowmageddon that was going to happen. Hey, Amy,
I remember I used to live, I think I lived 2.5 miles from my job. I was kind of in a similar situation as you, Alan. And, of course, I was working with animals, so somebody's got to go in every day and check on the animals and make sure they're doing all right. And so anytime there would be like a really and when I mean nasty, I'm talking about like 3 or 4 feet of snow,
right?
Sort of situation. And that was, I still had my Ranger. And so I would just be like, all right, guys, yeah, it's supposed to be really nasty snow. Come in if you want to, but no matter what, you know that I'm going to get there. And so I'd get up like first thing in the morning and shovel out my driveway and then go in. And I'd be driving through unplowed roads and it would be, yes, colander on my face going, witness me, brothers! Oh, it was awesome. I'd be doing donuts in the middle of the fucking street because there'd be nobody out there. And just drive in, you know, trudge through, you know, clomp off my snow-covered gear, pull out my, like, spare set of sneakers out of my bag, and go in, check on the animals, maybe help myself to a free cup of coffee in the cafeteria, and then hop back in, and then, again, put my colander back on my face, and again, drive like an absolute fucking lunatic back to my place, and park the car and go upstairs and change back into my PJs. Oh, those were good days.
Well, I think we've been pretty lucky this year here, Northeast Ohio.
Well, it's an El Nino year.
Yeah, but this was like this past week, we got a ton of snow on Monday, and it was really our first kind of snow, Lake Effect snow event. So it wasn't. You know, and it wasn't that bad. It was like only like 12 to 18 inches.
We have really gotten much.
Which is like 12 to 18 inches to most people. They're like, you know, a lot of people think, oh my God, the world is ending. But here it's like, meh, you know.
All right. I actually have a good snow story. So the Sunday before, so there's this Sunday. So the Sunday before Martin Luther King Day, it snowed. And it was like 3 inches of the lightest, fluffiest stuff on the planet.
Right.
But, like, it was snowing when I went to bed. And I got up the next morning and, like, opened up the window and looked outside and went, ugh, that's a good amount of snow. That's a shovelable amount of snow. And my wife said, look, you might as well get up now and go start shoveling it before the baby wakes up. And then, you know, it'll be all done and set for you to take her to daycare. And daycare was open, but both of our jobs were closed. So.
Yeah.
So I was going to drop her off at daycare and come back home there and put my goddamn feet up. And, you know, two adult married people in a house all by themselves. I'm just saying.
Been a while.
I wasn't banking on it, but it might have happened. And so I ended up shoveling and ended up talking to my neighbor over the fence about Trump and all that. Next thing you know, it's like, you know, the daycare opens at 7 and it's like, you know, 7:15 now. And I'm like, and the car's already warmed up and at the end of the driveway, cause I turned it on and just put the heat on high and let the car melt the snow off of it. And so I stuck my head in. I said, you know what? Get her in her coat and stuff, and I'm already ready to go. The car is all warmed up, and I'll just take her right to school, and then I'll come back home, and then I'll have breakfast. And meanwhile, I'm here going, I don't want to go to school. I don't want to go to school, which is what she says every fucking morning that she's going to school. I don't want to go to school. And then it takes me a half hour to get her the fuck home from school. Because, no, she wants to play with her friends, and, oh, she wants to play with this, and, oh, she wants to do that, and, you know, all right, I'm going to go home on my own. Okay, bye, Daddy. You go home. I'll stay here.
Teenage years are going to be fun.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I've got a sap. But so, so she's like, I don't want to go to school. I don't want to go to school. She says this every morning. It's good. And then I hear, I don't want to go to school. Glort!
What?
She threw up all over my wife.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
And she's like, oh, can you bring her into the kitchen where it's not carpeted? Brought her into the kitchen and she threw up all over me.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
And I'm just like, fuck, she's not going to school, is she?
Oops.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Thankfully, she was just filling her digestive tract back up with cow heart. She's feeling better now.
Well, that's good.
But yeah, but she had Martin Luther King Day was a rough day for her.
Why was she throwing up?
I think she just had a little stomach bug.
Oh.
She just had puke that she did that, had that one little puke fest in the morning and nasty diarrhea for the rest of the day, and then she was fine.
Kids, man.
Kids. Yep.
Oh, look, it's time to quit.
Hey, it's 10 o'clock. Let's end on a diarrhea note.
Yeah. That was a good one. Well, this was episode 180.
I know.
By the way, Jay, you pig fucker for not calling in.
He's tired.
Yeah. Too tired to lay flat on his back with the covers pulled over his head?
With his earbuds in, talking to us?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't have to Skype in. He can just call in the call number like I did when I was camping.
Did you see the picture of him on Facebook with the gun, big gun? Yeah, he's working hard. Jay.
Yep.
Well, anyway.
Like I was saying, episode 180.
Yes. Congratulations.
We're doing a U-turn. It's episode 180.
What will be different?
I talked about doing a 180. Give it a little bit of gas with your wheel cut. I'm just saying it'll happen. Not a little bit of gas. Like give it.
Okay, I'm still spazzing over 180 damn episodes of the Squirrel Report.
Yeah.
Think of that in minutes or hours.
That's 180 hours, give or take.
Especially as the first couple were 2 hours.
Yeah.
180 hours is how many days?
Yeah, I'm going to get the calculator.
7 days and 12 hours.
Nice.
That's a lot of.
It is.
So they could have, it was kind of like that Simpsons marathon that, I can't remember what, was it Fox? Did Fox do that? No, it wasn't Fox. It was somebody else. But didn't somebody do like a Simpsons marathon where they just played every single episode of The Simpsons?
Well, you know.
Back to back.
We're coming up on our anniversary.
Oh.
March.
Which means we got to give up the shocker to the Squirrel Report.
I think.
Oh Lord!
Isn't that when we started? Kind of.
I don't remember. I don't know.
Well, episode one was March 29th.
Okay, then. That was fun, and didn't work at all.
Nope.
If I remember correctly. Okay, I gotta go, guys.
All right.
Good night.
Bye, everyone. We'll be back next week.
All right. Good night, Internet.